want to put a little plug in on a Mr. Stiver's message or letter that he put out this morning. He referenced an author by the name of Patrick McManus. I didn't know there was too many of us out there that like Patrick McManus. If any of you in here have not read anything that he's done, especially you gentlemen, I would recommend that you do so. He is a very humorous author. I became introduced to him about 20 years ago. I was waiting to catch a plane, and I wanted to get something to read, so I went into the gift store, and I picked up one of his books. And I'm sitting on the plane, I'm laughing so hard that there's tears coming out of my eyes, and the lady next to me just kind of turned and said, "Well, that must be pretty funny." And I said, "Yes, it is very funny." He mentioned Fine and Pleasant Misery. There are some really classics that he's got out. The Bear That Ate Goomba, Real Ponies Don't Go Oink, and They Shoot Canoes, Don't They? That's my favorite. So if any of you have never experienced it, it's good humor, and what's nice about it, it's good, clean humor. So just wanted to put a plug in for Patrick McManus. You don't have to turn to these scriptures as we start. Revelations 2:7. He who has an ear, let him hear. Revelations 2:11. He who has an ear, let him hear. Revelations 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear. Revelations 2:29. Same thing. He who has an ear, let him hear. Revelations 3:6. He who has an ear, let him hear. And Revelations 3:13. He who has an ear, let him hear. Revelations 3:22. He who has an ear, let him hear. Now, can anybody guess what a title for today's message is going to be? If this were Jeopardy, we could say, I'll take message titles for 20, Alex. The title of today's message is, Are You Listening? Now, I admit that listening is a very broad subject. There are areas in our physical and our spiritual life that we need to pay more attention to. You know, in our physical life, we experience this every day. If we're driving down the road and we hear a siren, we automatically have learned to look around and see if there's something we can do to get out of the way. If somebody blows their horn at us, we normally look around and say, well, have I done something wrong? Has the light changed? If we hear a train horn, it automatically gets our attention. We have learned to pay attention to these signs. And quite frankly, our life may depend on it. Well, how about our physical bodies? We've learned a lot over the years to pay attention to our own bodies. We look for any lumps or bumps that might occur. If we have shortness of breath from time to time, or a nagging pain in our shoulders or chest, it may not just be old age, and there may be a reason to get it checked. How about a mole that suddenly changes shape or color? That may be also a reason to get it checked. Our pants or our dresses seem to be getting tighter and tighter, and it probably isn't because they shrunk. These are all things that we've learned about listening to our own bodies. How about our relationships? Spouses, if you ask a spouse if everything is okay, and they came back to you with yes, I think we'll agree there may be more to it. You know, we've learned to listen to those nuances and the body language and the tone in our voices. I know for me, because of Anita's illness, I have learned through her voice and her actions that she's having a bad day. And I try to treat her accordingly. And that's why I despise texting. Because it takes that human interaction, that human tone, that body language, it takes that out of the intent of the message. You know, I can stand up here and be kidding around with somebody and call them crazy and we all have a good laugh, but if I put that in a text, it may have a different connotation. And one thing I can say, and I've seen it done from people, is never argue in a text. because the intent of that conversation may be misinterpreted. So we've learned over the years to read body language and the tone of our voice as we listen. I know in my job as a sales manager, when I first started, I had my presentation down pat. There was nobody that wouldn't want to buy what I had to offer. Well, I soon learned very quickly to shut up and ask more questions, to really listen to what that customer wanted. How about our spiritual life? About listening during church services? And I'm the first to admit there's times that my mind wanders. Perhaps maybe we've heard the subject before. Perhaps we just have some really pressing cares in our lives, and that's occupying our mind. And I don't think there ever was a message given that we have retained 100% of that subject matter a week later. But hopefully we've learned something. Scripture. How about end time prophecy? Scripturally, we are told to keep our eyes and ears open. We are supposed to listen to what's happening in the world. Now, I think most of you know that I'm a news fanatic. I keep Fox News on the TV virtually all the time. And while I'm traveling, I normally listen to conservative talk radio. Is everything I hear worthy of my attention? No. But I have gleaned a lot of information about the Middle East, about politics, about changing morals, and about problems that affect us. I've learned to listen to what is happening and try somehow to tie it into what the Bible has to tell us, to look and listen to those signs. How about us as brethren? Are we listening to each other? Are we looking at that, again, that body language and that tone of our conversation? Are we willing to listen and help those that have a need? Are we willing to listen and see if we have offended somebody? Let's turn over to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, and we'll start in verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. If he listens to you, there's a spiritual reward there. You have gained a brother or a sister. Verse 16. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. If they don't hear you, turn up the volume. Get some other people involved. And if he refuses, in verse 17, if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. In other words, be done. If they will not listen and will not hear you. Assuredly, verse 18, assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. If we have that listening going on, there's spiritual blessings. And it says right here that God will be in the midst of us. We're blessed for listening. I want to ask, have you noticed a key theme in every aspect of listening that I talked about? There is one word, one key word that is constant in all these areas. And that word is learned. Listening well, is not automatic. It's not part of our human nature. Now, we hear background noise all the time. We can hear when the air conditioning kicks on. Occasionally, we hear if a plane takes off. We can hear some cars out in the parking lot. That's not true listening. That's just hearing. And that's background noise. You know, most of us want our voice heard. It's important to us. And sometimes we have to stop and think that it may not be important to someone else. Have you ever been in a group discussion where somebody monopolizes the conversation? You can't wait for them to take a breath so you can get a word in. And you may be sitting there and saying, well, Mitch, you said we're supposed to be good listeners. And that is correct. But I think you'll agree, any meaningful dialogue should be a two-way street. Conversation that builds on itself through interaction, listening, and responding. A good conversation builds on itself because everyone is listening so they can interact accordingly. We need to learn to listen before we speak. And that brings me to the spiritual subject that I really want to talk about today, and that is prayer. Now, don't tune me out. In other words, don't listen. This isn't a topic about how, why, when, or where we should pray. You know, we all have our special communication with God. And that's the way it should be. We're special to God as individuals. And our conversation with Him should be individual. It should not be like a crowd at a basketball game shouting defense, defense. That's just vain repetition, if you will. Now, we do pray collectively. We do it every Sabbath. But we are tied together in one accord with our voices. Collectively as individuals, but one as God's people. But in keeping with the subject matter, let's talk about, are we listening in our prayers? Now, there are two areas that we should pay attention to, that we should listen when we're praying. Naturally, we should listen to God's response, but just as important, we need to listen to ourselves. You know, listening to God sometimes might be a little confusing. It may not be so direct or clear. Why is that? Why can it sometimes be hard to hear God? Could be several reasons for it. Probably the one that is most often the problem is we have predetermined what God's reply will be. You know, we sometimes miss the part if it's God's will. We want it, and we want it our way. You know, if we think we know what God's response is going to be, and we're just going through the formalities of prayer, we could be flirting heavily with self-righteousness. Turn over to John 9. We're going to read this entire account. I just love this account. And you'll know when you get there. John 9, we're going to start out in verse 13. Again, John 9, verse 13. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. So apparently they had asked him before. They asked him again how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Pretty simple. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. going back to that same old Pharisaical attitude, he healed on the Sabbath, so he cannot be from God. He sinned, he healed on the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner, again, putting that correlation together, do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him, because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. They were focusing again on the man, not this miraculous deed that he did that was right there before him. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. Again, they heard it direct, but they weren't listening. They had their own judgment. Verse 19, and they asked them, saying, they asked the parents, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see now? So right there they confirmed that yes, this man was born blind. It wasn't just him making up stories. Verse 20, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. You have to laugh, but that's kind of the appropriate response. You've gone to him, now you're coming to me. Hey, ask him. He was the one that got his sight restored. Verse 22, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. So they really didn't confirm how he was healed or who healed him, obviously because they didn't want to get into trouble. But they did confirm that he was blind. Therefore his parents said, he said this again, he is of age, ask him. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. He wasn't talking about the person. He wasn't talking politics. All this guy knew was somebody restored his sight. And it seemed like the Pharisees just could not take that to heart. Now, verse 26, then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? And I love this response. Do you also want to become his disciples? That's kind of a glib response. But I think this gentleman was getting tired. He said, I've told you now probably three times what happened. But you're not listening. You won't believe me. Verse 28. Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple. Ah, here comes the self-righteousness. But we are Moses' disciples. Who are you to tell us? Because we are Moses' disciples. You had something done by somebody that we consider a sinner. Verse 29, we know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from, and yet he has opened my eyes. Haven't you seen what's been going on out there? Are you guys blind? Are you not listening? Verse 31, now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the so he's saying, hey, we know that God does not hear sinners, and he heard this request, so that correlation, he must not be a sinner. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who has been born blind. In verse 33, if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. So he's saying that, hey, throw in their questions right back at him. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. He is from God. But they were so self-righteous, they are from Moses. They didn't want to listen and see what was right in front of them. That's about the ultimate in self-righteousness. Let's turn over to Galatians 3. Galatians 3, we'll read verses 1 to 5. Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Again, maybe some of that self-righteousness creeping in. Did you receive the Spirit because you did all these goodies out there? Or did you do it by listening? By listening and seeing what Christ had done. Verse 3, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and you now being made perfect by the flesh, have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Does that Spirit come by works, or does that Spirit come by listening and having faith? You see, there's a progression here. First off, we have to learn to listen. Really listen. It's not automatic. Background noise, it's not listening, it's hearing. But we also have to listen to learn. And by listening and learning, we have faith. We have belief. We can then hear and understand. You know, if I could bring any of our biblical friends back today, let's say I brought Paul back today, and he hears a car horn for the first time. He hears it, but he has no idea what it is. Probably the second time he hears it, he recognizes it. So he's learned to listen. And then somebody, if I'm with him, I tell him exactly what it is. So he'd listen to learn. And now he has faith that every time he hears that car horn, it's going to be attached to a 2-ton piece of moving metal. Let's turn over to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, and we'll start in verse 14. Matthew 13, verse 14. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the heart of the people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn, that I should heal them. You see, if we don't listen, our heart and our mind won't be open. While you're there, let's look at verse 12. Verse 12 of chapter 13, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That's not just talking about physical things. That's talking about knowledge. It's talking about discernment. That's talking about understanding. I don't know about you, but I think most of us in here, if not all of us, as we've gone through the years, we've gained more understanding. I know my Bible I've had now for a long time, decades, and I've got notes all through it. And I remember some of those times a long time ago when I wrote those notes. You know, at that time, when I wrote those notes, they were a revelation to me. I learned something at that point in time. You know what? More years, more notes. As I listened and learned. You know, unfortunately, sometimes we just don't want to listen. We're so, if you will, self-righteous that God's word is foreign to us. But God will get our attention. I mean, look what he did and how he got Paul's attention. And there's two things that I've learned over the years, and I know most of you in here will agree with me. Number one is when we pray for something or an answer, number one, the answer will probably not come in the time frame I want it to. And number two, the answer probably will not be exactly what I was expecting. You know, self-righteousness is wanting it when we want it and how we want it. And I think most of you agree, a lot of times, that's not the case. We'll get an answer, but it may be different than what we thought it would be. You know, perhaps we don't hear God because we don't have the faith that he will answer. You know, we're instructed to pray. It's throughout the Bible. It's our duty. But has it become just an automatic thing? And we don't really have the faith of our prayers? We don't have the faith that they'll be answered? Turn over to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, and we'll just read verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 4, verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. They heard the exact same words, but it didn't sink in. They didn't hear it because they didn't have the faith. You know, we listen to learn. And by learning, we have that faith or belief. You know, perhaps we heard God, but, you know, the answer just got muddled with the cares of this world. Or worse yet, we were so self-righteous that we didn't want to hear it. The answer didn't coincide with what we wanted. You know, we prayed for financial help, but we can't make those changes. We have a lifestyle we need to project. You know, we prayed for better relationships, but a lot of times that may mean that we have to change. And you know, that's hard work. We prayed for better health, but again, it's hard for us to eat well and exercise for whatever reason. Our jobs are too stressful, we don't have the time, any excuse we can think of. So what happens if the answer isn't what we wanted? That we don't take God's answer to heart. That we don't really listen. I hope you're still in Hebrews. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. That's to me, sobering. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, or you could, in the rendering, penalty. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? The words were written down in the Bible, and it was confirmed through Jesus Christ. If we don't listen, if we don't listen to the things that we've heard, well, we can drift away. John 8. John 8, we'll start in verse 37. Word has no place in you. I didn't hear it. I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have seen with your Father. He's talking about somebody different. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. There's that self-righteousness creeping back in again. Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. Didn't listen. You do the deed of verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he who sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Why? Because they were self-righteous. They didn't want to hear the truth. Even though it's foretold all through the Bible that this was going to happen. Because they were self-righteous. You are not able to listen to my word. Verse 44. You are your father, the devil. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God. Boy, what a slap in the face. But what truth? They didn't hear the words of God because they were not of God. I'm sure that stung, if you will. So what about listening to ourselves in prayer? Has prayer become routine for us? Do we earnestly seek answers and direction? Or is it merely our duty to be gotten out of the way? Just a couple scriptures. You don't have to turn here. Matthew 6, verse 7 and 8. I'll just read them quickly. But when you pray, do not use vain repetitions, as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. Again, we all know this. We don't speak in vain repetitions. If we go back to 5 and 6 of the same chapter 6. Chapter 5, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. Again, it's personal. It's personal between us and God, and that's the way it should be. God is our Father. It should not be just routine when we pray. Do we come boldly before God, having faith that He will hear? Again, you don't have to turn there, but in Hebrews 4, we know these scriptures well. Hebrews 4, verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. So we are supposed to come boldly. God wants to know what we desire. It's a family relationship. But we do need to couple that boldness with humility. Luke 22:42. We know this well from the Passover. One simple verse. Luke 22:42. Saying, Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Christ sets the example for us here. That we get that self-righteousness out of our lives when we pray. That we don't predetermine what the outcome or the answer will be. That we truly ask it to be God's will, what the outcome will be. You don't have to turn here over in Matthew 5, 6. Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew 6. We'll just go back a little bit. No, I'm sorry. Got the wrong one. John 5, 30. Sorry about that. John 5, 30. Just another commitment. John 5, 30. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Again, just confirmation here that Christ sets the example for us. That when we pray, we always preface it that it be God's will. And here's probably the hardest thing we need to ask ourselves when we pray. Are we sincere in our prayers, or are we hypocritical? Doing only the lip service because it's required of us. It's our duty. Is it out of requirement or that duty? Or is it from our heart? You know, when we ask in prayer to be able to forgive someone, do we really want to do that? Or is it just our duty to do so? Do we ask, Father, please help me forgive so and so, all the while gritting our teeth and saying, I've got to do it, it's my duty? Do we give an outward appearance that we have forgiven, only knowing that it's not really in our hearts? Now, I guess I have to ask, does God forgive us that way? I truly hope not. Turn with me over to Colossians 3. This will be our final scripture. And when you get to it, you may not think it links in with what we're talking about. Please bear with me. Colossians 3, and we'll start out in verse 18. Colossians 3, verse 18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as it is fitting in the Lord. Do you see any caveats in there? Do you see only when it's convenient for me to do that? Should I submit to my husband? Do we justify, well, I would listen to him, but this happened? I don't see any caveats in there. Verse 19, husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Do you see any caveats in that particular verse? I don't. We don't love our wives just when they're clean and dressed up and pretty and happy. No, we love our wives all the time. We don't justify, well, I'm not going to love her today because she did this. I mean, I know when Anita and I come in from a day of working out in the flower beds and working around the yard, we're probably not the prettiest people to fall in love with. We look pretty worn out. But again, be sincere. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well and pleasing to the Lord. How many of you in here remember Eddie Haskell from Leave It to Beaver? Eddie always, if his father asked him to do something, it was always, yes, sir, yes, father. Or Ward Cleaver would say something to him, and yes, Mr. Cleaver. Or he would say something to Mrs. Cleaver, don't you look nice today, Mrs. Cleaver. All the while scheming something in the background. That's not being sincere. That's giving an outward appearance. And, you know, kids and children today, it may not be what they want to hear, but at least be sincere about it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a dialogue if it's something you don't agree with, but be sincere. Don't say one thing and put on a good face and do something else. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Well, the word to paraphrase that is to love your children. No caveats. Love your children. Verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And verse 23, and whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men. And that should be uppermost in our prayers, that we're sincere in what we ask, that we're not just doing lip service or doing a daily routine. To be honest, to be sincere. So today we discuss listening, whether it's listening to the physical areas, such as our bodies, our physical communication, or worldly signals, or spiritual areas, such as prayer. And we learn that listening is not inherent. There is an equation or a progression. We have to learn to listen. And then we have to listen to learn. And by learning, we have faith and belief. So let's not take anything for granted. Let's really listen to ourselves and ask out of sincerity. And really listen to what God has to tell us. He who has an ear, let him hear.